higher than my God. Praise the wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Appreciate the choir and praise team so very much for leading us in worship and praise today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Everybody kind of get settled. Not too settled, but settled enough to grab your Bibles, your cell phones, as long as you're reading scriptures. Judges 16. Turn with me to the book of Judges, chapter 16, verse number 19 through 22, is what we're going to take as our text today. I told Sister Brenda I know exactly why that I didn't get to preach last week, because of the way God moves and the way God works. The Sunday school lesson was so much in parallel with what God gave me, and I've had this message about 3 weeks, biting at the bits to preach it, because I know there's some people here today that you desperately need to understand God loves you and God cares for you regardless of your past circumstance or situation. There's two types of people in the world today, and I believe that every one of us fall in those two categories at one time or another in our life. And if we can't acknowledge that, I feel like that we're only fooling ourselves. But there's times in our life, and I'm not talking about all the time. There's times that we've got it all together. But there's times in our life that we feel like that we have messed up and made so many blunders and boo-boos that God can never accept us and never use us again. And then the second group of people are those that feel like that God has done us wrong, thrown us under the bus, and we really don't want to do anything for Him because we have that resentment built up and we think it's God's fault, when in reality it's not God's fault, but the devil wants us to think it's God's fault. And so he puts some seeds in our mind, and they begin to grow, and we begin to analyze them, and we water them in our analyzation, and we begin to think that God's the problem of the whole situation, but He ain't. But there's those are the two types of people, and I want to preach to you today concerning those two types of people. And I may only get to the first one this morning and may finish it up this afternoon. But in turning to Judges chapter 16, there is something very particular. And we have heard probably every message from Samson that we can imagine, and analyzed him and put him in different stages and different types and different areas, but I don't know if I've ever heard a message about Samson on this context today, and I may bring in part of what it was, but I want you to know that God loves you and God cares for you, and He has something special for your life. Judges chapter 16, beginning at verse 19, and it is speaking of Delilah here, and we all have a preconceived notion about Delilah, and she made him sleep upon her knee. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep, and he said, "I will go out as other times before, and shake myself." And he wist not, or he did not even know, that the Lord's Spirit, God's power, had departed from him. Verse 21, "And the Philistines took him, put out his eyes." One translation said they gouged out his eyes. "And they brought him down to Gaza, and they bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house." Verse 22. "Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven." Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll permeate this place today in the minds and hearts of your people for your glory, for your honor, in Jesus' name. Amen. I would simply like to title this message, "We're Coming Back." I wish I could tell you that my hair would grow back like Samson's did, but it probably won't. But I will tell you, in the spiritual sense, Samson's hair growth, the length of his hair, was a sign of his covenant with God, one of the signs of his covenant with God. And in that covenant, his long hair, it would never be cut. That covenant was the source of his power and his strength. God was his source, but that was a sign of the source of God's power and his strength. He's coming back. His hair is growing back. You and I today, church, regardless of what our life has been in the past, we have an opportunity to come back and allow God to use us, bless us, and touch us. Back in the 40s, the island of the Philippines was being bombarded by the Imperial Chinese Army. And our President Roosevelt at that time had sent General MacArthur there to liberate them. And circumstances was getting so bad. The Imperial Army was so strong that Roosevelt had ordered MacArthur to go and flee to Australia till they could revamp and get things back together, lest he be taken captive and everything be wiped out and destroyed. And before MacArthur left, and even when he returned, he told the people of the Philistines, "I will be back. We have fought hard and long, and I will be back." Listen to this clip.
"This is the voice of freedom, General MacArthur speaking. People of the Philippines, I have returned. By the grace of Almighty God, our forces stand again on Philippine soil, soil consecrated in the blood of our two people. We have come dedicated and committed to the task of destroying every vestige of enemy control over your daily lives, and of restoring, upon a foundation of indestructible strength, the liberties of your people. At my side is your president, Sergio Osmeña, worthy successor of that great patriot, Manuel Quezon, with members of his cabinet. The seat of your government is now, therefore, firmly reestablished on Philippine soil. The hour of your redemption is here. Your patriots have demonstrated an unswerving and resolute devotion to the principles of freedom that challenges the best that is written on the pages of human history. I now call upon your supreme effort that the enemy may know from the temper of an aroused and outraged people within that he has a force there to contend with no less violent than is the force committed from without. Rally to me. Let the indomitable spirit of Bataan and Corregidor lead on. As the lines of battle roll forward to bring you within the zone of operations, rise and strike. Strike at every favorable opportunity. For your homes and hearths, strike. For future generations of your sons and daughters, strike. In the name of your sacred dead, strike. Let no heart be faint. Let every arm be steeled. The guidance of divine God points the way. Follow in his name to the holy grail of righteous victory."
Amen. I wished I could analyze sentence and line by line by what he said, because he talked about that generation. Let them fight for their dead. Let them fight for those in the past. Let them fight that has give their life. And I say to you and I, as children of God and of those that have fought the good fight of faith, whether you realize it or whether you don't, let me tell you today, you will sooner or later. We are in a militant army, and the devil is our enemy. And he is out to kill, steal, and to destroy. But Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly." And he has given us the power. He has given us the grace that we're going to have to fight, child of God. We're going to have to do everything we can to destroy the works of the devil. When we get up in the morning, let us make up our minds that we're going to chase the devil as far as we can that possibly day. When we sit down at the table, let us make up our minds that we're going to chew on the devil till our teeth fall out and we're not giving up. When we lay down on our pillows at bed at night,
Let us make up our mind that we're going to go and fall asleep in the peace of God, waking up knowing that we're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. God has given you the opportunity and He has given you the privilege that you can be more than a conqueror. As we look at the life of Samson, and we follow his life as the angel of the Lord had come and talked to Manoah's wife and told her that you're going to have a child. She didn't have any at all, and you're going to have a child. And that child that you have is going to be dedicated and going to be have a covenant between me. And she was excited about this, and her husband wasn't around, so she run and told Manoah. And Manoah began to pray and ask God. Now, Manoah was from the tribe of Dan, and usually the Levites is the one that talked to God. And I believe that that's just a place here to let us know that if we're earnest and we need to talk to God, and especially in the New Testament time, because the veil has been broken, and we can enter into the holies of holies and we can talk to Him. But Manoah began to inquire of God and said, "Would you please send the angel one more time and tell us how we are to raise this boy?" How awesome it is. Inquiring of God. Manoah's wife was found alone again as the man of God came, or the angel of God came and began to minister to her. And she got up, ran to Manoah, and they came back and began to talk to him. They was going to offer him sacrifices. And he said, "If you offer me sacrifices, I still can't eat, because the glory goes to God." How many knows that every circumstance and situation of your life, the glory goes to God? I thought it was absolutely magnificent and marvelous as Manoah and his wife prepared a sacrifice, and they was offering a cereal sacrifice and a meat sacrifice unto God. The Bible says that the angel of the Lord done miraculously in their midst. I believe this guy was Pentecost. Come on, work with me just a little bit here, okay? He done miraculous. I believe that the power and the Spirit of God was in that place and on that place. And as the fire rose up to heaven, the Bible says that the angel of the Lord rose up in the fire and went to heaven with him. And so Manoah began to prepare and began to get ready. And in 9 months' time, that child was born. But I want you to recognize something. In the 13th chapter of Judges, chapter 7, there's something that we probably have missed several times. And I want you to understand that in the Word of God, it tells us that the gifts and the calling of God is without repentance. As God has ever had a calling upon your life, as God has ever spoken to your heart, as God has ever saved you, no matter what you've went through, no matter what you've experience, God still has a call upon your life. He still loves you. He still cares for you. There's still restoration for you, regardless of what your circumstances, regardless of what you've been through. God knows, and He has a place and a time for you, for your restoration to be restored. In verse number 7, it says that Samson will be a Nazarite to me from your womb until your death. Very significant. You is what you is. Now, I'm not preaching once saved, always saved. I am preaching once called, always called. I am preaching to you that God will never forsake you. You may walk away from God, but God will never forsake you. Circumstances in your life may have changed and turned your life inside out. May have been your fault. It may not have been your fault. But God has never left you. He knows exactly where you're at. I want you to understand that's very specific in verse number 7. And he shall be a Nazarite. And I could get into all that, but I won't this morning. He shall be a Nazarite, a dedicated, consecrated, set apart man for me, for judging the children of Israel. They was in turmoil. Israel was in turmoil. Israel needed a judge. They did not do what was right in the eyes of God. And God sent them a judge by the name of Samson. Samson had his ups and downs, but before he did, can I just make sure that you understand that Samson had the call? Can I tell you that Samson had the pedigree? He had the stamp.
His daddy was a man of God that knew how to get a hold of God. His mama even talked to angels. He had the pedigree. Samson had the contract, or he had the covenant. God told his mom and daddy, he said, he will judge Israel. And for 20 years, he did judge Israel, done great and mighty things in that period of time. And number four, Samson had the ability. In all the circumstances of our life, we have the call, we have the pedigree, because we are made in the image and likeness of God. Hello? He tells us in His Word that many are called, few are chosen. Every one of us was predestined to serve God. But God has given us a choice to do so. Hello? He desires His creation. He desires for us to serve Him. Can I get a big healthy amen? He desires. That's His purpose. That's His plan. He is our Creator. We are made in His image and in His likeness. We do have the pedigree because we are made in His image. We have the contract, the covenant. The covenant in the Old Testament was made with the lambs and bulls and goats. The covenant in the New Testament was made with the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Somebody say glory. It is that new covenant. We have the ability because He said all things are possible through Him. Glory. As Samson carried on in his life, Samson seemingly couldn't stay focused on his call. How many in our world today, the enemy come to kill, steal, and to destroy. He's not out just to wipe you out. Okay? He's out to bring you to a place that you take two or three with you. He's out to discourage you, to make you feel like you're not worthy. He's out to bring despondence in your life and bring anxiety in your life to where you're wringing your hands when you get up in the morning and your sleepless nights is driving you crazy and you're exhausted when you get up and you're exhausted when you go to bed. The enemy is out to kill you and destroy you. He's out to wear you down and wipe you out slowly. Samson had the ability, but he couldn't stay focused. Samson wondered in his mind and in his spirit. He'd go down to the Philistines. Instead of bringing judgment for the children of Israel, he would bring pleasure to his own eyes and in his own spirit. Samson left his call. Samson, because he left his call and because he was interested in the foreign women from Palestine. Can I tell you, church, that Samson's problem was women, but not every circumstances is women the problem. Hello? Understand, in our world today, it is the world is infiltrated with sexuality, and it is very needful that we stay focused on God, that we keep our mind and our heart and our eyes and everything pure. But I just wanted to tell you today that every Christian's downfall is not lust. It can be financial. It can be greed. It can be pleasures of the world rather than pleasures of God. Come on, somebody preach with me just a little bit. We got to get Samson out of this mess, and I need your help. Said, Samson's already made a mess for himself. He's going to die. Oh, but there's something greater still. Samson left his call. And because he left his call, he voided the contract. When he met the little girl of his dreams, he told his daddy and mama, get that little girl for me. Listen to me closely. This is how the devil does, and it sneaks up on us. He said, get that little girl for me. And daddy Manoah said, Samson, that is not right. We've got girls here at home that you need to be looking at, and you need to be taken under your wing. He said, but she does me good. She's pretty in my eyes. Read the scriptures.
She suits my fancy. That's what gets us in so much trouble. We do things that suits our fancy, that we destroy our contract because we want to do it our way, and we don't seek God's best, and we don't seek God's perfect will. We want to do it our way. It's my eyes that I have looked upon her, and she's just cuter than a bug on a lettuce leaf. Listen how the devil does. This is how he treats you. This little girl that was so pretty, Samson put a riddle out because he'd killed the lion. And inside the lion, after it had died, the bees got in there, built the nest, built the honeycomb, and was all sweet and tasty. And he went by there that day and got a big handful of it. I can just see that honeycomb. And he carries a handful of that home with him and shares with his mom and daddy. And there's a contest that comes up with the Philistines. And he said, "You give me 30 Babylonian garments if you can reveal the riddle that I have. And if you can reveal it, I'll give you 30 Babylonian garments and underclothing. And if you can't, then you give them to me." And so, some of you are going to enjoy this. And so after the period of time, the Philistines couldn't figure out what he was talking about. Out of the eater comes something sweet. Okay, you all know that. And they couldn't figure it out. So they begin to tantalize and begin to threaten Samson's wife, and they said, "If you don't figure out what it is and tell us what it is, so we'll know." Said, you'll make poor men out of us because we're going to have to come up with all of this." That's the way the devil wants to do. He takes you to the top and then makes you poor as Jake's buzzard. Okay? Said, if you don't tell us, we're going to be as poor as we can be. And not only that, we're going to come to your mom and daddy's house and we're going to burn your house down and burn all of you. And so... She began to tell Samson, "You need to tell me, sweet talk him. Put that little sweet talk. I don't think that the devil has a gender necessarily, but that's the way he likes to do, is whisper little sweet things in your ear. It don't matter if you're high school kids, elementary kids. It don't matter if you're adults, retired. The devil, he's out to take you out, and so he likes to whisper sweet things in your ears." And so the Philistines begin to tell her all these things and almost bring threats. You know, the devil tells you, if you don't do this, you know, things are not going to work out real good for you. And so she convinced Samson finally to tell her so she could tell the Philistines so they could get their 30 garments and not her house be burnt and her mom and dad's house be burnt. And so when it was all revealed, he said, "If you hadn't strived with my heifer, you wouldn't have known." That's what Samson said. "I didn't, okay? I told you, some of you'd like that, some of you wouldn't. I'll tell you what, let's just move on, okay?" And so we know the story of how that Samson went and killed 30 Philistines to pay his debt, okay, because of the deception. And then he went up to the city, and the Philistines were sick and tired. They was going to take him out anyway. I mean, Samson should have known what was going on when his wife was talking about those things. He should have known what was going on. And he went to the city, and they was out to get him. And at midnight, he went outside the city, took the gates of the city and carried him off. And they didn't get him then. And then he fell in love with another little Philistine woman by the name of Delilah. And I'm skipping a lot of things for your sake. And again, we know the story. But he fell in love with Delilah. And basically, the Philistines said, "We need to know what his strength is. We've got to take him out. He's causing too much trouble. He tied foxes' tails together, put firebrands and sent them in, burnt their orchards up, or their wheat up, barley up. So we got to figure this out, Brother Aaron. He's going to destroy us if we don't figure this out." And so they begin to tantalize and tell
Delilah, you need to find out what is strength. And she began to, Samson, if you really love me, if you really love me, will you tell me what your strength is? So he told her a lie. Listen, you can't bargain with the devil. You can't bargain with the devil. Okay? You can't negotiate with him. And she done what he said, that he said, I'll lose my strength. And she done it, called for the Philistines, and he jumped up, whipped them all, and did this three different times. I mean, after a while, wouldn't you think, you look in the mirror and say, you idiot, don't you get it? But that's how the devil lies to you. That's how the devil gets you seduced to a place that you become numb to the obvious. Somebody hear me. We become numb to the obvious. So after all that time, he finally told her what his real strength was. You know the story. They cut off his hair. They come and bound him. He jumped up, didn't even know the presence of God has left. You've heard that message 100 times before, and everything I've said to this point, but you ain't heard this part before, okay? You ain't heard this part before. Well, perhaps part of it you have, but this is my message, okay? You know the story of how that they came, they bound him after they cut off his hair, they gouged out his eyes, and they took him into Gaza to make sport of him, actually, and to put him to work. But I just want to tell you that when Samson lost his strength and lost his eyesight, it was then he began to really see clearly what was important and most valuable. It was when he was in chains and slavery that he became most vulnerable. He came to his senses and cried out to God in his predicament, and it was right then he started his comeback. I'm here to tell you today, I don't care what the circumstances of your life is, again, there's a comeback for you. And the God that I serve is the God of comebacks. There are those of you that perhaps in the service today you feel like that you have let God down and that you're no longer worthy of God's love, you're no longer worthy of God's mercy, you're no longer worthy of God's strength. No longer can God use you. No longer can God help you in any way, shape, or form. I just want to remind you of John chapter 4. And in that passage of Scripture where Jesus needed to go through Samaria, there was a little woman there that had been married 5 times, but Jesus still saw it necessary to go by there to minister to her, to tell her a people that He didn't even want to associate with. The Jews did not associate with. But in that period of time, we find that Jesus seen it necessary to go by Samaria, that I can talk to a little woman and tell her in all the midst of her stuff, in all the midst of her junk, in all the midst of her failures, in all the midst of her life, I still love you and care for you, and there's a well to drink from that you haven't even touched yet. The mercy and the grace of God reaches far past the streets, the avenues, the maps, the cities. Jesus saw it necessary to go by Samaria just to preach to one little girl that her life was in shambles and a mess. I just come by to tell you this morning, child of God, that no matter what your present situation is, no matter what your predicament is, God has a comeback for you. Can I just tell you today that no matter your present status, no matter your predicament, God has a comeback for you. No matter how far you have sunk low, no matter how far you've trailed from home, no matter what it is, there's a comeback for you because God is a God of comeback. God knows exactly where you're at. He knows exactly what's going on in your life. We quote Jeremiah 29:11 so many times. So many times we use that that God has a plan for you, a plan that's good. And I love that passage of Scripture. It's an awesome passage of Scripture. Can somebody say amen? But can I just tell you the circumstances of Jeremiah 29:11? The children of Israel was captive in Babylon. And they had been taken captive because of their rebellion, because of their sin, because they're turning away from God. And God told them, while you're in Babylon for 70 years, I believe it was, while you're in captivity, I want you to take wives. I want you to build houses. Even in your captivity, I'm going to cause you to prosper. Even in your mess, I'm going to cause you to good and to see you prosper. Even in all of that. But he said, when we come out of here, when you come out of here, I'm going to bring you out. After all the time, I believe it was 40 years, I'm going to bring you out. And when I bring you out, I'm going to hear your cry. We're going to come together and we're going to have a shouting time, because I do have plans for you. You may have messed up. You may not be doing things right today. But God's a God of comeback. And God is the one that in the midst of your junk, He will bring you to a place of restoration. Oh, God help us today. I guess if I'd have just looked, I had it written down. It was in there, 70 years in captivity in Babylon. Another time, 40 years, but 70 years. God is the God of comeback. He loves you and He cares for you abundantly. He understands you're going in and you're coming out. He understands where you're discouraged and you feel like throwing in the towel. He understands that you one time made a covenant with Him, but circumstances of your life, you have broken that covenant. You've misdone that contract. You have let your mind and your spirit wander. You've lost your ability to do what God wants you to do. But God said there's a comeback coming. God said, I have a comeback for you. I will revisit you. I will revive you. And in our passage of Scripture, we'll find that as I hone down on verse 22, howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. I can't help but think that it wasn't just a matter of a couple of days, but it was weeks and months that went by. That perhaps with Samson's eyes being gouged out, perhaps he began to feel on top of his head and the hair began to grow one more time, once again, and it began to get a little bit longer. And I can only imagine, church, the Bible doesn't say, but I can only imagine that he began to say, God, if you'll just restore, I see clearly now, even though I'm blind, I see clearly how that I messed up. I want you to know, church, that we've all messed up. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I'm here to tell you there's a comeback coming, because the God of all ages has something good for you. And regardless of what you've done, it's coming back. I want the devil to know right now that the Spirit and the power of God is in this place. And He's speaking to your heart and your life right now. Some of you are making up your mind. You're settling it right now. I'm going to get serious with God. We don't have much time left. And I'm going to get serious with God. I'm going to make a comeback. Somebody needs to reach up and realize that the hair is growing back. That represents your strength. Somebody needs to realize that covenant is still real. Somebody needs to realize that covenant was sealed and signed in blood. There's a comeback coming. I haven't done what I should have done. I haven't been what I should have been. I have failed miserably. Circumstances in my life has caused me to feel like it's just throwing in the towel and giving up. Oh, but wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. It's coming back. Hallelujah. Wait a minute. It's coming back. It's coming back. As Samson there was being treated as a sport, the Philistines was throwing a great big party.
because of the victory that they had won over Samson, and their God, Agag, had given them victory and had captured Samson. And Samson was there being made sport, being made fun of. Can't you just see how the devil works? He comes by and pokes you with a stick and says, "See there, I told you you couldn't make it. See there, I told you it wouldn't work. See there, I told you that things would fall apart." Let me tell you today that the God that I serve can take a life that's fallen apart and pick it up and put it back together. You know why? Because God is a God of comfort. Come back. God is a God of restoration. Can't you just see them coming by? Little kids throwing rocks at him, hitting him, say, what rock hit you then? Which one of us hit you that time? Can't you see Samson's telling one of the little boys, psst, psst, come here. Hey, come here just a minute. So would you do me a favor? And all this time Samson had been talking to God. Come back. It's coming back. God, if you'll just give me strength one more time. God, if you'll just give me strength one more time, I'll be what you want me to be, even if it's in my death. Now before you get too much in conclusion of that, feel like that you're going to have to croak and kick the bucket to make the comeback, it's in the spiritual sense. We must die out to the flesh. He who gains his life shall lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake shall save it. We are to crucify the flesh. It is the flesh that has to die. It's not the spirit man. So I just want to make it real plain to you today. It's coming back. The spiritual man is coming alive. And the natural man is going to die in the rubble that the enemy has tried to entrap you with. But the spiritual man is coming alive. Samson says to the little boy, I said, would you just lead me over to the temple? I mean, there was Philistines everywhere. There's on the rooftop. They was inside drinking, having a big party, big orgy, living it up. Samson said, son, would you just take me, let me lean on the columns of the temple. Just let me lean there. Just let me lean there. And all the time he was speaking to God in his heart, God, just one more time, would you restore that covenant? And as he began to put his weight, and he began to put his strength into the pillars, he began to move them, and they began to shake, and they began to tremble, and they began to fall. And there was a noise like never heard before as they fell to the ground. And the Bible says that Samson died with the Philistines, but destroying his enemies more on that day than it did at any other time. And just let me reiterate to you one more time, it's the flesh that has to die. God has something special for you. And all of your stuff, all of your mistakes and failures, you've come to a place today. God said the comeback's coming your way. Chris, would you come to the piano? With every head bowed and every eye closed, as sure as I'm standing here today, the lesson that Sister Brenda taught and the word that God gave me a couple, 3 weeks ago, I just want to tell you, you've been about ready to pull your hair out. You didn't know which way to turn. You didn't know which way to go, but I just want you to know today, God's given you a specific message to let you know that there's a comeback, that you are worth fighting for, and the covenant is real, and it's signed in blood. I just want to tell you today, just as it was for Samson in chapter 13, verse 7, there will be a covenant between me and you. You will be a Nazarite from your birth to your death.
God has it sketched out on the palm of His hand. Though you're hurting, though you don't know what to do next, I just come by to tell you there's a comeback in your life. Without any hesitation whatsoever, God's speaking to you today, and I know that He is. Several of you, I want you to get out of your seat right now and just come to this altar. Surrender to God and say, God, here I am. I'm ready for the comeback. I can't help my past, but I can help my future. I can't help the circumstances, what has happened in my life. But my future is in Your hands, God. My future is in Your hands. Come on, don't let the devil lie to you. Don't let the devil tell you that it ain't no use. I've heard this before. You tell the devil he's a liar, and God has a comeback for you. God has a comeback. I need some prayer warriors around the altar this morning, church. There's a comeback for you. There's a comeback for you. Feel like you're not worthy of it. You may feel like I've done tried this before. I'm asking you to try it one more time. Lord, one more time, Lord, one more time. One more time, Lord, one more time. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Loves you and Jesus cares for you. That doesn't mean you're backslide. Said no, there ain't no hope. God has hope. Whatever it takes. My will to pray. Life is too short and heaven's too near.
Right now it seems there's no way out, and you're growing under. But God's proven time and time again, He'll take care of you, and He'll do it.
I want to challenge you and encourage you. No matter, you may be on cloud nine, but you need to be thanking God. Say, God, I'm coming back. Stronger than I've ever been before. You need to let the devil know I'm coming back. I'm going to be a force you're going to have to reckon with because Jesus lives inside of me. I'm coming back. Just as Samson's hair was growing, we're going to grow spiritually. We're coming back in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I love you and appreciate you, Lord. Thank you, oh God, for what you've done, what you're going to do. I'm so thankful, Lord, for your mercy and grace. Thankful, Lord, for restoration. Touch your people, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. See you tonight at 6 o'clock. Prayer meeting at 5.